How we have been blessed in our series on marriage and in the book of Ephesians. And as you know, in studying the book of Ephesians, the first three chapters of Ephesians was all about doctrine. And now in the last three chapters that we're in, it's all about duty. We live out what we've been taught. And so in the first three chapters of Ephesians, we saw the position of the believer. In the last three chapters, we see the practice of the believer. In the first three chapters, we see how that God sees us in Christ. But then in the last three chapters, we see that the world sees Christ who lives in us, living through us. In the first three chapters of Ephesians, we see our heavenly standing. In the last three chapters, we see our earthly walk. And in those first three chapters, we see our identity in Jesus Christ, that we're holy, that we're righteous, that we're raised with Christ in heavenly places. But then in the last three chapters, we see the practice of the believer and our responsibility to live out these practices every day through the power of the Holy Spirit. So today we're in a new chapter, chapter 6. And we have the last, really, in the series of our marriage series. But really, it's just kind of a postponement. Because men, when we get to Father's Day, I'll be dealing with Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. And I have a very special message just for you. But today, we want to talk about powerful principles of biblical parenting. And I think all of us know that the home is in a deep crisis today. And we see that parents are at odds with children. And children are at odds with parents. And there's a battle in the home. And for 20 years, I worked with teenagers. And I felt like that my call when I worked with teens and with children was to turn the hearts of children to their parents. And turn the hearts of parents to their children. And I will tell you today, that is the purpose of this message. The purpose of this message is to take children and teens who are alienated and struggling, and parents who are alienated from their children. Or maybe there's tension in the home. Or maybe there's a new level spiritually you want to go to in the home. My intention is to bring you together in the Lord Jesus Christ, where the home becomes a place of peace. It's a haven in Jesus Christ. It's a place where the children and the parents love to gather together under the blood-stained banner of the cross. That you're like Snoopy the cat. Did you read that article? Snoopy the cat lived in California. But the parents of Snoopy the cat couldn't take care of it anymore. So they took it to Oklahoma. They were Okies. And they dropped it off. And they came back to California. Several months later, Snoopy showed up at their front door. That cat had crossed deserts, forests, rivers, streams, and made it all the way back to California to their doorstep because there was no place like home. My prayer today, as we go back to the Bible, as we realize the world has brainwashed us with their secular principles on what makes a successful home, on what brings the blessings of God to our homes, when we understand that God has a better way, that God has a divine pattern for children and parents in the home. And my prayer, as we go back to God's Word, that we can create a little bit of heaven on earth in our homes. And so the first thing I want you to see today, as we look at principles, powerful principles of biblical parenting, the first thing I want you to see is the power of an obedient heart. Because you see, the seeds of rebellion are at large in the home today. A rebellious spirit of children toward their parents. Parents who don't know what to make of teens and children that are on the verge of being out of control. And you see, it's the responsibility of parents to lead in the home. To be leaders. To lead in a way that children see who's the boss. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 6. And I want you to look in verse 1. And the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, the word children there is a word of affection. It's a word of tenderness. It's a word of love referring to our offspring. And the Bible says, children, obey your parents. Now, that word there is an interesting word in the Greek language. It has the idea of hupoikouo. That's really the original Greek word. And it has the purpose of our understanding that we are in charge as parents. That's literally what it's talking about. It has the idea that we as parents are the superior in the home, and our children are supposed to follow us as those who are under our guidance and leadership. Literally, that's what it's saying. But can I tell you that homes are in chaos today? Because there are parents that at the sacrifice of being a leader, at the sacrifice of being in charge, they want to be a buddy to their parents, to their kids. They want to be a friend to their kids. And so instead of leading them and guiding them and disciplining them, what they do is they just let their kids do whatever they want to do because they're afraid that somehow they might lose their friendship. Somehow they may lose the fact that they're buddies. And so they want to be liked by their kids over disciplining their kids. But can I tell you that is in direct violation of the Word of God? The Bible says here that we as parents are supposed to be in charge. That's literally what this word obey means. It means that you are over your children. You are guiding your children. And that they have a command, and the word obey there is in the imperative mood. It's a command. Children, it's not an option that you obey your parents. It's a command that you obey your parents. And the idea here is really of that of a military term. That young people and children, as you obey your parents, it is as if you are a military inferior obeying a military superior. And as you obey and as you win favor with your parents, you move up in the ranks and are given greater responsibility and greater privileges and greater honors. But it all is hinged on obedience. That's the power of obedience in a home. But today, in our day and age, there are all kinds of dysfunctional parenting types. And the Bible deals with every single one of them. First of all, you have the man Saul in the Old Testament. Remember Saul? Saul was absolutely dysfunctional in the way he parented. Because Saul was all discipline and no love. Do you remember the story of Jonathan, his son? And King Saul had made a ruthless edict that nobody in a battle that they were fighting could eat any food. Because Saul was ruthless. He was a man who wouldn't break a nail as far as his own comforts, but he made life difficult for all of those around him. And because of that edict, they didn't win the victory that God wanted them to win. And his son Jonathan didn't know about the edict, and so he ate some honey. And when Saul found out that his very own son ignorantly ate some honey, he didn't make a fair decision, a just decision, a good decision. He made a ruthless decision, and he demanded that his own son should die. And if it hadn't been that the people rallied around Jonathan, Saul would have killed his own son. These are the kind of fathers that Paul was dealing with in his day in the nation of Rome. In Paul's day, a Roman dad had absolute rights over his children. And in that day, if a dad decided at birth he didn't want his son, they took his son out and they would execute him. Back in the day of Paul, if a dad decided he wanted to sell his child into slavery, he could do it and make a little extra cash. And there were dads that did that. They were ruthless. They had absolute control over their children. In Paul's day, if there was a dad who wanted to take his son and put him in chains and use him as forced labor in his fields, he had the right to do that. In fact, the authority of a father followed his son until the day the dad died. He had absolute authority in the home, and he could be as abusive as he wanted to be. And that's dysfunctional parenting. And see, this is the kind of parent that Saul was. He crushed his child ruthlessly, and he had no love whatsoever in his heart. And you see, in homes today, we need to have discipline. We need to have order. We need to follow the principles of the Word of God. But I want to tell you, good discipline is only good discipline when it's from a loving heart, when it's from a caring heart, when it's from a tender heart. And when the Bible says, children, obey your parents, the idea in children is a tender, caring, loving attitude toward our children. And the word obey there means discipline, yes. It means parents, we're in charge, but when we discipline our kids, we do it with love. We do it with tenderness. We do it with a big heart. But then there was the role model of Lot. And Lot was dysfunctional because Lot had no love and no discipline. And you have parents like that. They don't really care about their kids. They neglect their kids. And there's no discipline in the home. Their attitude is let the kids raise themselves. And that's what Lot did. Do you remember when the angels visited Lot? And remember when that mob showed up at Lot's door and they said, hey, we want the angels. And Lot said, no, I'm not going to give you the angels. I'll give you my daughters. Can you imagine that? That he would turn his daughters over to some crazy mob? But he didn't care about his daughters. The only thing Lot cared about was his own hide. And so he had no love in his home. And then he had no discipline. Lot was a drunkard. He didn't care about setting an example for his kids. He didn't care about having a home with order and discipline. And I tell parents all the time, I worked with teenagers for 20 years, and I can tell you the haunting memories that I have working with teenagers is presiding over funerals of children who died in the prime of their life because of alcohol-related deaths. And may I remind each and every one of you, and I can tell you this because I'm your friend, I don't have ties with anybody. I don't owe anybody anything. The only agenda I have is to be your friend and tell you the truth from the Word of God. But can I tell you that when children today, teenagers today, the number one killer is alcohol. One of the best things you can do for your kids' parents is make the sacrifice not to set an example of drinking in front of them. And every statistic will show you that. But you see, we have this responsibility to lead. And here you had Lot. He got drunk and all kinds of immorality took place in his home because he was a negligent parent. He had a dysfunctional home. But then there's a third type of non-biblical parenting that we see in the Scripture. And it's Eli. Remember Eli in the Old Testament? And Eli had lots of love in his home. He loved his sons in his own way. But Eli had no discipline in his home. And so he had two sons that were absolutely out of control, living in immorality, living in ungodliness under his house, under his leadership. And instead of disciplining those kids and demanding that they live up to God's holy standard of righteousness, he allowed them to go their own way. And they both met an early demise on the battlefield that God never intended because of their unrighteous an ungodly and out of control life. But the last type of parenting we see is a functional, godly, biblical type of parenting. And we find that in the Word of God, and it's Abraham. Now, Abraham was no perfect person, but kids, can I remind you that there is no perfect parent? And can I also remind you that it's not your job to be a prosecuting attorney in your home and to find every fault and every flaw that your parents have? Yes, your parents are not perfect. Yes, they make mistakes. But it is not your responsibility to pick your parents apart. It is your responsibility to love your parents and to understand the tremendous pressures that are on your parents. And Abraham wasn't perfect. We know that. But we do know this about Abraham. He was a very loving dad. He loved Isaac with a tender love, a caring love. We also know that Abraham was a man of discipline. He was a man that set a high and righteous standard for Isaac, and Isaac turned out to be a godly little boy. And he grew up to be a godly man because he had a godly dad who had a balance in his parenting. He was full of love. He had a heart, but yet at the same time, he was a dad who had discipline in his home. And that fits the standard of biblical parenting here. When the Bible says children, it's saying have a tender, loving, caring heart for your children. Be full of love in your home. But then the Bible says obey. And that means to have a high and holy standard of discipline in the home. There's a balance here. But not only is there the responsibility to lead parents, you need to be in charge. But secondly, there's a responsibility to teach. Look with me again, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Notice what the Bible says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, parents, can I share something with you? I thank God for every book that's out on the market that helps us to raise our kids when it's godly and biblically centered. But one thing that bothers me and one thing I have a concern of is so many times you read these books and there's all kinds of tricks and gimmicks and steps that are in these books, but it seems as if they leave out the most important thing that the Scriptures teach as to how you have a successful home and how you raise the right kind of children. And that is, the children obey their parents how? How are they going to obey their parents? How are you going to have an orderly, disciplined home where children are following the leadership of their parents? And this word obey here is an interesting word. It has the idea that children are listening attentively to the commands and desires of their parents, and they are following them. That's literally what this word means. And how do you have a home like that? Well, the Bible says it's very simple. It's in the Lord. Because you see, parents, your children will never be obedient in the home like they should be unless you teach them how to walk in the power of God, how to walk under the lordship of Jesus Christ, how to walk according to godly biblical standards. And I am absolutely amazed where people will read magazines and books and they've got all kinds of plates spinning in their home where they're trying this kind of psychological profile and this kind of gimmick or trick, but they leave out the most important thing, and that is to teach our kids how to walk with God and know God and love God and believe this book. The Bible says children will only obey their parents in the Lord. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy, from the very beginning of the writing of the Bible, it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 and 7, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children." What does the Bible say our responsibility as parents? To teach God's word flippantly, hit and miss, whenever we feel like it. No, the Bible says we should teach it diligently. We should teach it passionately. We should teach it consistently. All of that is in that word diligent. And parents, I want to ask you a penetrating question today. And I'm asking you in love, are you consistent in your biblical teaching and your homes of God's word to your children? You say, well, pastor, that's why I bring my kids to church. That is the church's responsibility. Can I share with you that that's not what the word of God says? The word of God says that it is the parents' responsibility to diligently teach the children the word of God. It is our responsibility. And you see, when we teach our children how to walk with God, know God, and love God, that's how we produce children that will follow our leadership and obey the commands and the teaching that we give them in our homes. I can tell you that I'm not a perfect parent, and there's a lot of things I'm sure I do wrong, but one thing I do right is since James was old enough to hear, I have opened up God's word, and almost every single night, without exception, we study the word of God. And I teach him how to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. I've taught him that since he was old enough to understand. And how to live under the lordship of Jesus Christ. I want to ask you a question. How can any child obey you and listen to you attentively and live a godly life if you don't teach them from the word of God how to do that? They need to know just as much as you do. And so I have taught him the principles of living under the lordship of Jesus Christ and walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And none of us are perfect. But I will tell you, we will be much further down the road for that kind of teaching in the home. And do you know today there are shocking statistics coming out about evangelical churches and their children? And do you know that while 95% of evangelical children are in the church, and those of you that have younger children, God bless you for your children being in the church and under the leadership and teaching of godly Awana workers and Sunday school teachers and the Word of God. But let me share with you that while 95% of children in evangelical churches are in the church, when they reach high school, it drops to 55%. When they reach college, it drops to 11%. You say, Pastor, that concerns me. How do we stop that? What's the cause of that? Well, in the survey, it's the most exhaustive survey ever done of evangelical children. And in the survey, they found out that these children said, the reason we left the church is because nobody convincingly taught us that the Bible is absolutely and totally true. In fact, they said there were some people that caused them to doubt the Word of God or portions of the Word of God. That God, who wrote His Bible with inerrancy and infallibility and no errors, wasn't strong enough to preserve it without error in our day and age. And they said because they had doubt in their heart towards the Word of God, this is what they said. If we're not sure all the Bible is true, how in the world do we know that any of it is true? And that's a logical question. But I want to tell you, it's up to us as parents. And we need to do our research. And we need to do our due diligence. And we need to be able to stand in front of our children night after night after night with these little lives that have open hearts, these little arrows that we can shoot toward the bullseye of a target, the Bible says, to the great purpose that God has for them. And we need to open up God's Word and pour that into their lives. God has given us a day of opportunity. I can tell you, last night we had our devotions like we always do in God's Word, centered around His purposes. But let me share with you number two, a second reason why these kids said they left the church. They said they're leaving the church because the church did not ground them and teach them that God really created this world. They weren't convincing. And so therefore, because of the science they had received in the secular world, that the earth was millions and billions of years old, the universe was millions and billions of years old, and because of all that teaching, they questioned whether or not there was a God. Because the Bible clearly says that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 literal days. We have a contradiction here. You say, no, Pastor, couldn't those days be hundreds of thousands or millions of years old? Absolutely not. I mean, I'm not going to stand up here and stretch the truth or lie to you. And the hermeneutics of the Bible are this. Whenever a numeral in the Hebrew is used with the Hebrew word for day, which is yom, you put the two together, it always refers to a 24-hour literal day. Go to Hebrew University in Jerusalem. Go to any great Jewish university in the world. They will all tell you that the hermeneutics here are 6 literal days. The morning and evening of the first, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth day. It's literal days. And so what these young people said was, we have not been convinced that God really created it all, and it seems like we just evolved, and so they left the church. Last night, and I didn't even really think about my sermon, but last night we were in the website Answers from Genesis. And you can go there too, parents, you should. It's a great website. And on that website, we looked at 3 videos last night, and I've been teaching this to James for years. But we looked at the video about what happened to the dinosaurs. A tremendous video taught from good, solid science. Not science fiction that we get about evolution today. And then there was another video about why the world is not millions and billions of years old. And we watched that. And then we watched another video that talked about how radiometric dating is an absolute joke from a scientific perspective. We looked at all 3 of those videos and we discussed it, and James had some input, and I talked to him, and I taught him, and we looked in God's Word, and they did a good job looking in God's Word. But I want to tell you something. We have got to prepare our kids with the truth. It is our responsibility. And you see, the Bible tells us, when it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, I want to tell you something. It is only through the power of God that our kids will obey us and follow us and ingest our values and to their spiritual value system. You say, well, Pastor, this is such a paradigm shift. But can I share with you that when 89% of children are leaving the evangelical church, I think it's time for us to stop listening to the world, and I think it's time for us to go back to the Bible. You see, the Bible tells us that there's power in obedience. And we need to be responsible to lead, parents. The Bible says, children, obey your parents. We need to be responsible to teach. God has given us that mandate. But secondly, I want you to see, not only is there the power of obedience, but secondly, I want you to look at the product of obedience. And the product of obedience is respect. And we need to train our children to respect. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2. And notice what the Bible says. The Bible says, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now, I love this word honor. Parents, you're going to really love this word honor. Because this word honor is a Greek word, and it means this. It means in regards to a parent, a child is supposed to have high regard for their parents. Now, children, you need to get that because your parents are going to remind you about this all week. You need to count them valuable. You need to esteem them, value them, honor them, revere them. You're showing respect to somebody, recognizing their great worth. It has the idea of fixing a high value and a high price on something, so much so that you prize it. So children, what the Bible is saying, teenagers, what the Bible is saying, is that you need to prize your parents. Honor them, respect them, revere them, hold them in high esteem. You say, well, pastor, is there an option out of that particular verse? No. No, that's in the imperative also. It's a command. There's no option out of that. And you see, parents, we have a responsibility as parents to ask our children to honor us and respect us. And by the way, to honor and respect all authority in society, because I will tell you, a home are homes where there's not honor and respect and obedience is a home and a society that is moving toward anarchy. I heard about a young lady who was traveling through a county in Texas. And I love Texas. This story just happens to be from there. And she was speeding. She knew she was speeding. The officer pulled her over. And she was totally uncooperative. She wouldn't give the officer a driver's license. She argued with him. She said, officer, if you knew who I was, you would not be demanding that I have a speeding ticket. She said, in fact, my dad could buy this county. My dad will show up with a team of lawyers, and he will put you in your place. And so they began to fight in battle. And then her dad got involved later on, and he calls up the county. And the dad says, look, I want to tell you something. He said, I have hired a team of lawyers, and I want you to know that when I'm finished with you all, you're going to lose your jobs. And so this battle began. But there was a godly youth minister, and he pulled the dad aside in the midst of all of this tension and chaos, and he showed his dad the Word of God. And he told that dad that God had called him to respect authority. And he told that dad that really his daughter was at stake, because as he was teaching his daughter not to esteem and value those that were in authority over his daughter, he was teaching his daughter to disrespect him and any authority. Well, the dad got under conviction. And he took the Bible and the words of the youth minister, and he took it to his daughter, and he showed her where they were in disobedience by dishonoring this policeman who was just trying to do his job, just trying to protect that little girl and trying to protect those that were in the cars around her. And so the result was, when they went to court, the girl stood up and she said, your honor, what I did was wrong, and I want to ask you to forgive me. And she turned to the administrators that were there, and she said, I want to ask all of you in this court to forgive me. And then she looked at the police officer and she said, I want you to know that I was wrong and I was disrespectful, and I want you to forgive me. And the judge was so overwhelmed. He had never seen anything like that in all his years on the bench. He was so overwhelmed, he fined the girl a dollar. But you see, we have to teach honor and respect in the home. And it's a command from God. And what's at stake when we show honor and respect toward those in authority, and when we show honor and respect to parents in the home? Civilization itself is at stake here. The Bible says, honor your mother and your father. But also, does the Bible not only teach us that we honor our mother and our father, and we build respect in the home, and we train for respect, but also we need to train our kids to anticipate. Look at that verse again, in verse 2. Honor your father and your mother. Let me share you something interesting about this word honor. This word honor here has the idea of not just esteeming your parents and valuing your parents, but this has to do with attitude. Not just action, but attitude. And so the idea here is not just honoring your parents when they ask you to perform a duty, but listen, children, listen, teens, what this verse is saying is that you're supposed to anticipate what would honor the desires of your parents. This verse is saying that you're supposed to know your parents and know what their wishes and their respects are, and that you anticipate what would make them happy, what would please them, and you need to work diligently to perform those tasks even before you're asked. That's literally what this verse is saying. It's saying you're supposed to anticipate. And see, we can look at this passage of Scripture and we can legalistically obey it. You can have a home full of miserable people. Okay, mom and dad, I don't really want to, but I guess I have to, and so I will. And so you have a whole home full of people where everybody's obeying, but they're obeying legalistically and mechanically and just going through the motion. And there's no heart of honor. There's no heart of esteem. There's no heart of respect. There's no heart to anticipate what the desires are of a parent or anybody else in the house. There's no servant attitude. But you see, the Bible says we need to go far beyond legalism and the shallow responses of legalistically obeying Scripture. The Bible says it needs to go to our very heart. It needs to go to our very attitude, where we enthusiastically, where we with great anticipation understand what pleases our parents, and we work diligently to perform acts that we know would make them happy around the house. You see, the Bible says there's a product of obedience, and it's respect. And we as parents need to train our children to respect and honor the authority in the home, and to respect and honor all authority that's given by God. But also, we need to train to anticipate. We are not legalists. We are people of heart. And that honor goes all the way down to the depths of the soul. You say, well, Pastor, this is a bit revolutionary. But can I tell you, it's the Word of God. And it's what takes a home to a new level. It's what takes a home to a new day. It's what takes every level of society to a place where God wants us to be. But thirdly, I want you to see, not only do we see the power of obedience and the product of an obedient heart, but I want you to see the promise of an obedient heart. Because you see, the Bible talks about the blessings of obedience in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2 and 3. And I want to read this amazing part of Ephesians chapter 6. Notice what it says. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment. Now, honor your father and your mother is not the first commandment. I know that, some of you Bible scholars. But what Paul is saying is he's using the word protos. And protos means a primary commandment, a very important commandment, first in kind, first in importance. Paul is saying this is a critical command of God. And the word command there means that it has all the authority and all the power of God behind it. So this is the first commandment with promise. Now, the word promise here is an interesting word, because the idea of a legal word in the Greek system that says that God is guaranteeing the promise of blessings that he's about to pronounce. What are those? Let's look at verse 3. So that, we get a hint of purpose clause. The Bible says God has made promises. God has given you this commandment. And there's a purpose behind it. What is that? That it may be well with you. And that you may live long on the earth. Now, God gives you two promises here. Children, if you honor and you obey your parents. And these are huge promises. First of all, the Bible says if you honor and obey your parents, the Bible says it will be well with you. Now, what does that mean? Well has the idea will be good with you. That you will be prosperous. That's literally what that word means. God wants to prosper you. Primarily spiritually. And the Bible says when you obey and honor your parents, you are in a place of prosperity. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and life more abundant. That word abundant in the original language means a life that overflows. God wants to bless you in an overflowing way, young people and children. But the way you do that is to honor and obey your parents. And you see, God has a plan of spiritual prosperity for you. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8, hear my son or daughter, your father's instruction. And by the way, it says, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Why? Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and an ornament about your neck. Do you know what God's doing with you? God is forming you, young people, into a beautiful person when you obey your mother and your father and you listen to their teachings, their values, their wisdom. God is shaping you and forming you into this incredible individual. And one day you will bless a wife and you will bless a child and you'll bless your own husband, the scripture is teaching. It's all there. You see, the Bible says there's prosperity spiritually, mentally, emotionally to other people through your life when you obey and honor your parents. What a powerful truth. There's a quality of life that you'll never experience any other way until you understand this biblical principle. When I was in college and beyond, I worked at UPS. That's something that Brother Steve and I have in common, although he has a few more years than I do. And at that time, in 1979, I was making $11.72 an hour. That was pretty good for back then. And I was in college. And I'll never forget, this guy comes to me, and he was an insurance salesman. And I like insurance salesmen. But this guy wasn't the most ethical of insurance salesmen. Most are. I've never met an unethical insurance salesman. I'm sure they're out there. But he wasn't the most ethical. And so he got all of us together, and he began to tell us about how we could make all this money working for him, and we're all going to be on commission. And he guaranteed us that it was a sure thing, although I don't know how it could be a sure thing if we were all on straight commission. And he got us all revved up, and he said we should all quit our jobs and we should all come to work for him and work for commission. And I got so excited, I said, well, I'm going to quit my job. All my friends said the same thing. So I went home, and I talked to my mother about it. She said, son, why would you want to trade a job like you have with the benefits and the pay that you have for commission? Oh, no, Mom, this guy assured me it's a sure thing. I mean, the commission's going to roll in. She said, well, why don't you do it part-time instead of just quitting your job? She said, but I don't think you ought to quit a good job to go to that job. Well, I listened to her. Because I believe that verse in the Bible that says, if I obeyed and honored my mom and dad, it would be well with me. That God would prosper me spiritually and beyond. So I listened to her. A year later, my friends were all living in poverty. I mean, they absolutely were making hardly any money at all. And they had quit, some of them, very good jobs. You see, God has given your parents an ordained responsibility over you. And they are like a hammer and a chisel in the economy of God, young people. And they are forming you and shaping you into this beautiful person. And God is even using them to fill you with godly wisdom so that you don't make terrible mistakes in your life and miss the blessings that God has for you. He uses your parents to bless you. But secondly, I want you to see not only are there the blessings of obedience, but look at this second amazing promise. Look what the Bible says here. The scripture says, honor your father and mother in verse 2, which is the commandment with a promise. Now look in verse 3 again. That it may be well with you and that you may live long upon the earth. Now let me just start by saying this. There are exceptions to this promise. This promise is not saying that every child or young person that dies young was in rebellion against their parents. It's not saying that at all. God has every right to take home whoever he chooses. But it does mean this. Normally, when a child listens to their parents, not only do they have a quality of life, but they have a quantity of life. Because this word long here means long in time. And if you study the scriptures, and if you just make some observations around you, can I tell you that you're going to find that when young people live in rebellion to the wisdom and instruction of their parents, that their lives usually are cut short. And they open themselves up to the devastating results of the sin that they involve themselves with. Take, for instance, Samuel. Here was a man who listened to his parents. He was a godly man. And yet, he lived a long life because he followed the direction of his parents. But on the other side, you have Samson. And Samson was in rebellion against his parents. Samson said, I want that woman. And his parents said, she's a godless woman, son. We want you to find a godly woman. And Samson said, I don't care what you want. I want that woman. And he married a woman his parents never intended for him to marry. And because of that, he went down a trail of brokenness and personal devastation and sorrow, where he went to woman after woman after woman that his parents never would have been pleased with. And he ended up with a woman that caused his absolute downfall. And he died a young man. Look at Absalom. Absalom was in open rebellion against his dad. And because of that, his hair got caught in a tree. And his own relative came along and put darts in his heart, and he died a premature death. And I will tell you that God has placed your parents in your life, young people, as a protective umbrella to protect you against the devastating results of sin all around you and those that would take advantage of you and manipulate you and use you. And what burdens me about our young people today is this is the most manipulated generation that has ever lived. On every hand, there are people that will use you and take advantage of you. And God has given you your parents who love you and have sacrificed for you and given up for you. And they are there to protect you if you'll listen to them. When I was a senior in high school, I was typically a pretty obedient kid, but I just thought I knew everything. I mean, I really did. I thought I knew so much more than my parents. I mean, they had lived back in the Stone Age. I mean, and I just thought I was smarter than they were. And I know my parents probably called up NASA, Brother Joe, and said, you guys need to get this guy. I mean, he thinks he is the smartest guy that has come along in years. And you better get him quick before he gets older and becomes dumb like us. I mean. But I'll never forget, I needed contact lenses. And my mom said, look, I want you to go to the doctor. There's a good doctor, and he's a little expensive, but that's where I want you to go. And I said, Mom, no. I said, there's this special they're running at Lee Optical. Now, there's places that run specials that are good places. But I got to tell you, this place was really, it was just a little seedy. And I was too young to really understand that, but my mom knew. And they had a $49.99, and I could have gotten contact lenses and all kinds of things that went along with it. And I said, Mom, I'm going to go over there and get that special. She said, Son, I'm telling you, you need to go to the doctor. But I went down to Lee Optical. And I walked in, and I sat in the chair, and I should have known something was wrong when the guy couldn't get my vision 20/20. And he said, well, that's good. And I said, you didn't get my vision 20/20. You didn't correct it. He said, that's all right. We got it close enough. Well, so then we go over there to look at the contact lenses. And I had one choice. It was called Smoky Brown. And it wasn't smoky brown, it was black. And he said, well, you know, here's your contact lens. And I said, well, that looks a little strange. He said, no, it's great, you'll like it. It'll fit you perfectly. So I got him. I put him in. I got to tell you something. If you've ever wanted to buy built-in sunglasses, I can tell you about it. Man, I'm telling you, I could look in the sun. There was no glare. The only problem with that is when I walked into a room and the lighting was dim, I mean, I went in blackout. I couldn't see anything. I went through this for a couple of years. I needed to read Braille or something. I mean, it was tough. And my eyes so deteriorated, when I finally went to a real doctor instead of this witch doctor I'd gone to, he told me I had ripple of the cornea because of the inferior grade of contact lens that I use. And you see, God had placed my parents in my life to be a protective covering, to be an umbrella of protection. And when I rebelled against that, I suffered the consequences. And I suffer those to this day. You see, the Bible says, honor your father and your mother, and your days will be long. But you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, yes, there's division, and yes, there's tension, and yes, there's fighting in my home, but I want to tell you the reason for that is that my home needs Jesus Christ. We need to invite Jesus Christ in my home and in our hearts. That's the issue that we're facing today. And so today, I'm going to give you an opportunity to go to the cross. Just like Brother Joe sang, to be set free by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ from all your sin. And to be set free to eternal life, to be set free to a new life, and to have the power to have a home where children love their parents and honor their parents, where parents teach their children to honor and respect and to love, and where God is in charge of the home. Would you let Jesus in your heart today? Would you let him wash away every sin? The Bible says, he that has the Son knows they have eternal life. Do you know Christ personally? Are you sure? Would you make sure today? Let's bow our heads in prayer. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, I need Jesus in my heart. In just a minute, I'm going to give you an opportunity to step out and come forward and come to Christ. Maybe you're here and you'd say, Pastor, I need to join this church. I'm looking for a church that exalts the Savior, that worships the Savior, that equips the saints, that evangelizes the lost, not just here, but all around the world, uses its finances all around the world for the gospel's sake. Is God speaking to your heart today? Would you listen to him? Would you step out? Would you join our church? Father, today, there are men and women and boys and girls and teenagers. And Father, they need your strength and your power to step out and make a decision for Christ. Oh God, we are completely dependent on you. And we're asking you to work in this congregation. And Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.